JPMorgan Chase, Wells Fargo, and PNC kicked off big bank earnings on Friday.
For the rest of the year, I think the banks are sort of saying, listen, the economy looks good. There are these ins and outs. You know, the rate changes cut both ways. There are other things we benefit from the rates not going up.
Plus, President Trump renews an immigration push, and Chevron strikes a big deal. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Before we get to our main story on big bank earnings, here are some other top stories we're following. President Trump tweeted on Friday that he's considering placing illegal immigrants in U.S. sanctuary cities only. Trump also brought up the idea, which has previously been rejected last year. The renewed push comes as the president ramps up efforts to stem illegal immigration into the U.S. and after Kirstjen Nielsen resigned as Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. Oil giant Chevron is buying independent exploration company Anadarko for $33 billion. Wall Street Journal reporter Bradley Olson says the deal will make the combined company one of the biggest operators in the Permian Basin in West Texas and New Mexico, where fracking is booming.
I think it'll make Chevron pretty much the undisputed king in the Permian Basin, probably within a few years. They have a huge position across a piece of the Permian Basin that a lot of people think is the most lucrative in the future. And so when you combine the value of Chevron's portfolio and Anadarko's is sort of more than $100 billion, which is more than double that of any other rival. So it definitely makes this Chevron plus Anadarko combination really attractive in the Permian Basin, which is right now producing just a little bit less oil than Iraq.
The two companies will produce about 3.6 million barrels of oil a day, just 5% less than ExxonMobil. Anadarko is also developing a natural gas export facility in Mozambique. A Tokyo court has extended the detention of former Nissan and Renault chairman Carlos Ghosn until at least April 22nd. Ghosn was rearrested earlier this month on new suspicions of financial misconduct less than a month after he was released on bail. Ghosn has maintained his innocence. His attorneys have also appealed his detention, saying it's making Ghosn's kidney condition worse. Prosecutors have been interrogating him in the hopes of a confession. Big bank earnings kicked off on Friday. The Wall Street Journal's Charlie Turner has more details.
Several major banks reported higher quarterly profits on Friday. They were led by the largest U.S. bank, JPMorgan Chase, which hit a record profit in its first quarter, thanks to its core lending business and a healthy U.S. economy. Wells Fargo and PNC Financial also posted higher quarterly earnings. But is this as good as it gets for banks, which have benefited from the Fed's now-ended interest rate hikes? We chat with the Wall Street Journal's David Benoit. David, investors liked what they heard from these banks. You know, the results touched off a stock market rally on Friday. Their lending operations benefited from higher rates. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's kind of the big key here, the profitability. So the way the Fed had been raising rates had boosted the banks because they're able to charge more per loan. But people aren't really demanding more on their deposits. So that just increases their profit margin.
The thing was, though, these banks posted higher net interest income from a year earlier, but it was basically flat compared to the fourth quarter, and that was because, obviously, the leveling off of interest rates?
Correct. So this is right a calendar gimmick almost right now. The Fed has said in last month that they're probably not going to raise interest rates again this year. That's kind of the signal everyone has. But they'd been raising them all of last year. So if you're looking at the first quarter this year compared to the first quarter of last year, the rate is higher. But if you look at it compared to December, that pretty much evaporated on these banks, and that's kind of the big question. Right, you mentioned the stock market's rallying today. I think there's a question of, well, what are the next three quarters going to look like for profits?
Yeah, they've lowered their net interest income projections for the rest of the year, according to your story. Right. How do they feel about their overall profit outlooks?
So first, that's just Wells Fargo's lowered its projection, but they sort of are flat. People aren't that excited, and that's why I think today the rally is because I think people already weren't excited about the first quarter, and J.P. Morgan's number was kind of hit it out of the park. So for the rest of the year, I think the banks are sort of saying, listen, the economy looks good. There are these ins and outs. You know, the rate changes cut both ways. There are other things we benefit from the rates not going up. We're going to see what happens. The U.S. consumer seems pretty confident right now. The U.S. businesses seem pretty confident right now. But there are risks. Jamie Dimon mentioned China. You know, there are always geopolitical things that could happen. Whatever happens with Brexit could mess all of this up.
What about banks' deposit costs? Now that rates are sort of flat or they could go lower, could deposit costs really add to the pressure for banks?
Yeah, so this is another reason why this quarter is sort of special seeming, because historically what's happened when the Fed has been raising rates and then stops is deposits lag loan pricing. So the banks have been saying for, you know, the last year essentially, if the Fed stops, you know, we're going to expect deposit pricing to keep going up. It takes a little bit longer for people to start asking for more. So they're still saying today, that all three of them said, we think that that's going to happen in the next few quarters, which will crimp that margin, kind of reverse what we were saying earlier that the benefit had been.
David, could banks' home lending businesses take up the slack since flat rates could boost housing demand?
It's a double-edged sword, right? Well, they can't charge more for your commercial loan or business loan. Mortgage demand has been tanking as rates have been going up. Wells Fargo is the biggest mortgage lender. They said, listen, we think the second quarter is going to be better. JP Morgan sort of hinted the same thing. We think there's a chance that that will help.
What about banks' credit card business? It seems like the consumer's in pretty good shape and consumers are spending money.
Yeah, this is a big driver for JP Morgan, particularly the U.S. consumer broadly, but card is a big business for them right now. They've really been pumping money into it. So it's part of that, but also they signaled it seems like there's a lot of demand for that, which is a good sign for the U.S. economy in general.
Are there any clues about upcoming earnings from banks? In the new week, we have companies including Citigroup, Morgan Stanley, Bank of America.
Yeah, well, so JP Morgan's sort of viewed as like a bellwether for all of these guys. They may be the biggest, but they came out and, like I said, sort of blew the expectations out of the water. And when the Fed changed its stance in March, people downgraded the earnings prospects for this quarter, even though it was still sort of helping them. So I think people are probably looking at this pretty optimistically. I think all the banks are up today.
Wall Street Journal reporter David Benoit joining us in the studio. Thanks, David.
Thanks for having me.
Now, on to some more headlines from the Wall Street Journal. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell declined to answer questions about President Trump's potential nominees to the Fed's board. According to the Journal, he also reiterated the central bank's independence in a closed-door meeting with House Democrats on Thursday. President Trump has indicated he intends to nominate former GOP presidential candidate Herman Cain and former campaign advisor Stephen Moore to the Fed's board. Four GOP senators have said they would oppose Cain's nomination. Bristol-Myers Squibb shareholders have approved a $74 billion deal to acquire Celgene, despite an activist campaign against the merger. 75% of shareholders voted for the deal. Bristol pioneered the development of cancer drugs known as immunotherapies, but still faces a challenge in that market from rival Merck. Celgene leads in the sale of treatments for multiple myeloma, but is expected to lose the U.S. patent protection for its top-selling product in the next several years. The merged company is expected to bring in nearly $38 billion in sales. Campbell Soup is selling its Bolthouse Farms brand to Butterfly Equity for more than $500 million as it seeks to refocus on its core business in soups and snacks. The sale means the divestiture of the entire Campbell Fresh division. The company is also hoping to reduce debt. The final season of Game of Thrones begins on Sunday on HBO, and while superfans are eager to find out how the show will end, The Wall Street Journal interviewed some never-throners, people who have never watched the series and who are looking forward to the concluding chapter for entirely different reasons. The Wall Street Journal's Michelle Ma spoke to some of them.
One person, she went on a tour of a few natural wonders in Iceland with her sister, and they were there to see the place where the tectonic plates meet of North America and Eurasia. Meanwhile, apparently the same beautiful spot is a Game of Thrones filming location. And there were all these people there who were more interested in taking pictures of them holding up pretend swords than they were to see, you know, the tectonic plates. And so she was really amused by that.
So where do you stand? Are you an avid viewer of Game of Thrones or the one person left out while your friends talk about dragons and White Walkers? Let us know by tweeting us at WSJ Podcasts or emailing us at whatsnews@wsj.com. And that's What's News. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.